Hey, this is an incredible story. Now, let's go back and pick up your particular situation. You were there. What happened?
Well, I was called. I was a security supervisor for Woodbridge Air Base that night, and I was called out there to go out to Eastgate for a situation, but they wouldn't tell me what it was on the radio. And when I arrived there, there was two other patrols, police two and police three. And I said to Bud Steffens, the patrolman out there, I says, "What happened?" He says, we got a situation in the woods." I looked down over there, and I've been to a lot of aircraft crashes up to that point. And it looked like an aircraft crash to me. It looked like it was on fire. It was approximately about 200, maybe 300 feet off the Eastgate area of the base.
Not far, then.
Not far at all. But it was still far enough to make it look like you couldn't discern what it was.
Okay.
And so I called into my control center and said, "I think I have a possible aircraft downing. I want to take some patrolmen off, and I want them to start plotting the cordons and stuff like that we're going to need for that." And I took myself and two other patrolmen, and we started to head toward the possible aircraft crash. And as we started getting closer to it, the radios were starting to go bad. And so I took one of the patrolmen, and I said, "I want you to work as a relay." And that was Airman Kabanzak. And then myself and another patrolman, we were probably maybe 100 feet from the wood, the tree line. And as we started getting a little closer, we couldn't get any farther with our Jeep, so we went on foot. And as we got closer, I knew it was an aircraft crash at that point. There was no, smoke or smell of fuel or anything like that. And it was a very bright white light.
Was there any sound, Jim, at that time?
None.
None.
The only sound maybe in the woods were from animals.
Okay.
The wildlife around there, and that was about it.
So, and that's unusual, too, because if you came upon an aircraft that had crashed, and if it happened to be on fire, you'd hear crackling sounds, wouldn't you?
Oh, you hear quite a bit of disturbance from the burning and that, yes.
Okay.
Well, then as we started to, proceed toward the wood tree line, it was a very bright white light, and it started to dissipate. And as I got closer, the silhouette of a triangular craft was sitting inside maybe, 20, 25 yards inside the tree line. Not yards, but feet. And as I approached it, it was the light had dissipated, and it was more opaque, but still light enough so you could see the outline of the craft.
Had it landed, Jim, or was it hovering?
Oh no, this was on the ground.
On the ground. All right.
Yes, it was on the ground. And it was not moving, and I was fairly concerned at that point. I was trying to rationalize what I was seeing, and everything I was trained to do was not coming into play at all. It just I was just perplexed. But then, I was thinking, well, is this hostile? Is it a threat? I mean, we did have a large stockpile of weapons and other things on that base, other priority resources. We had the largest tactical fighter wing in Europe.
Okay. All right. Well, explain, if you would, again, the craft and what it looked like. I know you said triangular shape, but how high was it? Did it have any texture to it? Were there windows to it? What could you see?
Oh, we had ample time to fully investigate the craft. We did a 360 walk around. The craft measured approximately, we paced it off, about 9 feet long and probably about 6 to 7 feet high.
Okay. So not very big, really.
No, it's very small. And, I was looking for, intakes, and I was looking for engines, and I was looking for a crew compartment, and none of that was
visible.
No, none of it was visible. The craft fabric of the craft was very smooth, opaque, like onyx, very black looking glass.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the oddest thing well, the oddest thing out of everything going on.
Yeah.
Would probably be the coloring. We had, there was still red and yellow coloring that was running through the craft, and it's red, like, the fabric of the craft.
Like, almost like veins in a human body?
It moved around in clumps and from large ones to smaller ones to, it was very strange.
Just moving all around like it was on the inside of it?
Like it was part of the fabric of the craft itself.
Okay, but moving. It's moving,
yes,
you're saying.
Yes.
Okay, that is weird.
Yes, oh, the whole situation's weird. But we were pretty perplexed with the situation. But after about 10 minutes of, you know, checking the craft out, it was very warm to touch, the craft was. The air temperature at that time of the year was about 32 degrees. And I think it was sitting on some type of landing gear pods or whatever, but I could not see anything underneath it. It was fairly flush with the ground.
So it was pretty low, though.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
So, you know, I'd been checking it out for about 10 minutes. Our radios were having a lot of trouble with them. I think it was about, there's also a feeling of electrostatic type of feeling in the air. It was on our clothes, our hair, our face. We could feel it. Then we were in contact with the radio relay that I did set up, and we were relaying our security checks and our information as we did our investigation to the control center through the link we had established.
All right, so you're relaying back exactly what you're seeing. You're not embellishing. You're saying, I'm looking at this thing. It's 6 feet by 9 feet. It's got this onyx color to it. I mean, you're just telling them what you're seeing.
That's correct. I mean, at that point in time, I wasn't sure if it was a hostile threat or not.
Did you think it might have been ours?
No.
You did not? Okay.
No. It wasn't. I tell you what, it was. We were trained on that over there extensively, and it wasn't, you know, any type of aircraft that's was in, like, the Jane's Book of aircraft.
Right.
It was... Well, the odd things are, it didn't have no intakes. Jet aircraft got to have intake. All jet aircraft got to have a crew compartment. They got to have windows. They got to have stuff like that. This had none of that.